It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So are you looking forward to the new Superman? No? What is happening?
I don't know how to feel about it, but it's not chills and iconic. It's not that. Chills and iconic.
See, I am coming from the weird perspective that I have not seen anything.
Oh.
I'm slowly discovering that in my active desire to not fuck at all with the superhero genre, I actually don't learn, like, certain parts of that don't come to me anymore. Superhero movies will be coming out and I don't know they're coming. And that's very weird for me. but comforting in a way.
I've been a fan. You know me, I'm just a fan of, you know, comic books and DC comics in particular. So, you know, I'm not gonna get superhero fatigue or any of that stuff. And you're not the fan of those things. Really, you're not a fan of those things at all when it comes down to it. Right. But I am. So yeah.
And that's the thing, and I try and imagine, because like, especially with one like Superman, like, it's been done. Like, I'm trying to imagine loving Superman. I'm trying to imagine loving a character and spending my life seeing version after version of that. Like, you're weird. You don't count. If there's one thing I've been trying to establish during these 15 years, it's that you're weird and you don't count.
I
feel like either I would eventually hate the character, or I don't know what I'd do. I think I'd be freaked out in general. I mean, I already don't like when people make too many sequels of a property I like. If there was something that I really loved and like just my whole lifetime was full of people trying and mostly kind of failing to sort of depict this character in a way that I liked.
I'm thinking of other characters. This is true for like Sherlock Holmes, for example.
And the Batmans and
I was thinking of some literary characters
Superheroes.
Yeah, literary characters that get the treatment over and over and over again, and there's always a little bit of a different take on it.
James Bond.
The characters that are like that, that, like you said, people sort of really take to heart in a very personal way, maybe integrate in their own identity a little bit, right? They wear Superman t-shirts around and because they want the world to know they're a fan of Superman. And then when that happens, it matters to them in a special way how he's portrayed in a film, because if Superman is portrayed in a way they absolutely hate, but now they think this is what everybody thinks Superman is, and they don't even want to wear their Superman shirt anymore, right? So there's weird stuff in relation to that with characters like this, but also a character doesn't sort of reach that status with the popular culture unless the person who really likes that character understands how many different versions there are, at least unconscious level, how all of those different versions are valid in their own way. And so if you watch on television or in a cartoon or in a movie or even in a comic book, and you see a version of the character that does isn't the version that you like, you just get used to going, oh, well, this version of Batman is not my version of Batman, and you just have to live with it. And it's a little harder when
I would say there's a lot of people out there who don't do that.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, there are.
Instead, they fucking hold hostages at banks saying, until you change this Batman movie.
Yeah, I know that.
I will kill one hostage for every minute you cut out of the director's cut.
But I think thanks to the internet, that's a small group of people whose voices are amplified.
Yeah.
And most of them are closer to my way of thinking. And the reason I think that's because first I've met those people, and that's the majority of people that I met. But it's also because you couldn't continue to be a fan of the thing if you were going to have that attitude. In fact, I do know people who used to be a fan of, say, Superman or Star Wars or whatever else, and they're simply not anymore. Because they're that kind of fan where it's like, it's got to be my way or not. And after a while, they just can't even maintain their enthusiasm for the property anymore. But people like me, who will probably always be a fan of a thing, it's because I, have figured out that that's kind of a silly way to look at a property. Like, it's yours or it has to be your way. So
I'm trying to figure out if I really count as being a fan of anything, any... like character.
I've often struggled with that too because of my weird relationship to fiction. But I mean, I think it's fair to say I'm a fan of DC Comics and DC Comics characters. I think it's fair to say that. And probably Star Wars too.
I frequently do say that about you, so I hope it's fair.
No, yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's fair.
I have properties that I enjoy and stuff, but I don't know. I don't get frequently to the degree that I can drop out of a fandom just because it iterates too many times, regardless of quality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just like, well, and I've said this on a lot of other properties. Dune was one where I'm just like, I'm duned out.
Well,
there is nothing from a educational perspective, there is nothing from an entertainment perspective that I feel the property of Dune can give me anymore. It's a great property. I hear the stuff coming out now is really good. I just don't have anything left I think I can get from the property. And maybe I'm a little that with superheroes. I have sort of figured out I don't like the genre, and I never have, but I spent a long time thinking I sort of did. And I mean, I enjoyed those movies, some of them. So I think some of it was also whatever I did get out of it. Eventually I got.
Well, I mean, in the one property that I think you've talked. So if we go over the whole podcast history here,
all right.
You've talked about lots of different characters, properties, whatever. Marvel movies were coming out. You were watching them, and you had to go watch them. So, but the one character I can remember you really talking about a lot until you weren't anymore is Harry Dresden. Like that. Yes. That was a big deal for a while, for a long while. I can't think of any other property that you talked about. If we just take our podcast and put them out there. And people could take all the properties you ever talked about. I can't think of a single one you talked about more than Harry Dresden.
18 novels, 3 novellas, and countless short stories. And I read them all.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was absolutely huge into that. And now I'm very much not like if he ever gets back, the series isn't done. And he has said it's not done, and I don't know if I will continue to read it, especially because it's been so fucking long. Mm. I'm like, I would need a major refresher, but I don't know that I'm interested. Some of that is changes in who I am. Younger me likes things about, and there are always things I will take away with and stuff, and I still like the setting and all that. But I think it is. A lot of it is iterative. I hit a point where I'm just like, I get it now. Well, and maybe it's all, just the story was like supposedly the series is going to end with the apocalypse. And it's starting to get pretty apocalyptic, and my interest is wavering.
Okay.
You're right. That's a good example. And I think it really is just sort of an iterative thing. If you do it long enough, I'm not going to be interested anymore.
Well,
and you know how I am. I prefer nobody would do sequels and remakes kind of ever.
Right. But Harry Dresden is not yet, maybe never will be, what people typically call iconic, right? No. So Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and many other DC characters especially, they just endure outside of the stories themselves, you know? Like I said, people buy t-shirts, they buy action figures, you know, these are archetypes and icons in their lives. Even if they go 10 years not picking up a comic book, or there's no movies or TV shows available, they'll still buy Superman, Batman stuff, you know, to put on their desk or whatever, because they're not just characters. And in fact, some people couldn't even tell you a good Superman or Batman story, even though they consider themselves fans. So it really, really goes beyond the stories for a lot of people when it comes to certain characters, and not just superhero characters, but a lot of character. Like, my mom loved Yoda. If I asked my mom to give me one Yoda quote, could she have done it? No. But she loved Yoda. She has a little Yoda action figure on her table next to her chair. Some characters just transcend the stories. It's weird.
My brother loves little yellow mascots.
Of any kind?
Yes. To the degree that he won't know who Pikachu is. And he was excited to see Pikachu. He knows now. But at the time, he just had this, it was actually like a video from some Korean thing where a bunch of people were wearing Pikachu outfits and dancing. And he sent it and he's like, this is so cool. And he didn't know who it was. And this wasn't like in the early days. This was like a few years ago. But like, no, because my brother's old. Mm-hmm. Woodstock from Peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite thing in the world. Huh. Minions. He loves the Minions. Don't think he's seen a single movie. He loves the Minions. It is specifically cute little mascots who are yellow. And he's not a whimsical guy. Like, his entertainment choices in general, he tends to avoid sci-fi, fantasy, fantastical things or whatever, but cute little yellow mascots.
That's funny.
Always has been thus.
Well, now, I mean, my mom knew who Yoda was. Like, she could say,
brother knew who most of these were, but he didn't know Pikachu. He just, but that's how divorced he is from that range of pop culture, and yet he still loves it now, because it's
it is odd how certain characters, you know what, and Pikachu might be one, actually, now that you mention it, right? I mean, I think people do like Pikachu who've never played the game, not interested in playing the game, didn't watch the cartoon. I think it might be one of those characters that's like, this is just a thing that is sort of out there in the zeitgeist, and the stories, or whether or not anyone's even telling stories about this character anymore, don't really matter.
The Japanese have nailed this in many cases where it's literally just mascots, like not so like Hello Kitty and the world of Hello Kitty. Now, because it has been so many decades, there are stories, there are shows, there are movies, there's a theme park. Literally where you can watch a floor show where Vegas showgirls in skimpy outfits and giant Hello Kitty heads dance, apparently. It's crazy. But in the beginning, they were just cute little characters that were on stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the characters and their branding came before any narrative, really. Mm-hmm. And in fact, nobody knows, because technically Hello Kitty, I believe canonically, is a human girl. that I think is wearing like a cat head on. I don't know, but like canonically, she's apparently actually human and I think lives in London. Her backstory is weird and very small on packaging and stuff, but like is a thing. And there's a lot of things like that where it's like a mascot first, and then if it becomes popular enough, we stick it into a story.
Yeah.
And I'm more into that because I like coming up with my own information.
Well, I mean, when you were a kid, the phenomena was starting where there would be a toy first, and then there'd be a cartoon about
Oh yeah,
it,
no,
not the other way
I
around.
was the group that made Ronald Reagan so much money. Like in the early 80s, there was a swing. It swung back and it still swings, but it used to swing a lot of, oh, all of these cartoons are just trying to sell things to kids. We need to lock that down. It should be more educational. And we had done that, I guess, with Carter. And then Reagan put through a bunch of stuff that was like, fuck it. And I believe He-Man was the show that proved make a cartoon based on a lot of toys, and the children will buy all of the toys.
Oh yeah, Transformers
And
was a big one for that too.
Transformers was also a big one. But again, Transformers had an existing thing because Transformers, as so many things in that era, already existed, and then they turned it into Transformers.
Oh, okay.
And it modified. It was less than some of them. Some of them were very directly, let's take it and redub it. But Transformers, there were toy lines, and they kind of combined toy lines and then made a show. And but yeah, like I was the era where that was a thing,
Yeah, I mean,
and it was all
Strawberry Shortcake
30
cartoon,
minute commercials, basically.
Care Bears cartoon, Smurfs. Yeah, all of
TMNT was that. I
Yeah,
mean, TMNT
all those things.
started as a comic, but it quickly became that.
Right. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. Different characters and different stories and kind of become their own, take on a life of their own, really outside of whatever story was being told. And that's just how it works sometimes.
Hello, everyone.
Well,
Welcome, Magical Talking Head Podcast. Only podcast in the world that loves my co-host so much that I didn't ask him if he was rock hard for the Flying Man. Because that would have embarrassed him.
oh yeah, that's the thing they were
I'm
saying.
Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 732. There's a lot of inside jokes we're telling here in early on that they're not going to know anything about.
That's our show! No, so the McElroy brothers a while back started actually recording the video of their podcast, and they don't post the video, but it gets clipped and they'll have video clips from it on YouTube. And there was one that I don't remember actually listening to, and I'm caught up on the podcast, so I'm slightly confused about that. Maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention. But where they were talking about Superman's the new Superman movie is coming out in July, and two of them were really excited and one of them did not care. And in that, the one that did not care said that my whole family is just rock hard for the Flying Man and I'm not. And so it was covered. And the conversation reminded me of William, so I sent it to him because I did assume William was rock hard for the Flying Man.
Well, and he was saying when they were sending the link to the thing and talking about it, you know, there were these one word texts, iconic and
Iconic and
chills.
chilling. Yeah.
No, I didn't have that feeling about it. So my brother and I, Scott, you know, who I did the podcast with briefly too, he's the big Superman fan in the family. So he and I are going to be talking about it more than anybody else are going to be talking about it. He's completely skeptical about it, 100%. So he wasn't, he didn't, I don't know if he even watched the trailer.
I
And I am lukewarm about it. It's part of it looks good, some of it I'm not sure. And it's James Gunn, and I don't trust him at all with DC properties, so we'll see.
I mean, at least you know it's going to be a big swing. You're probably going to have feelings about it.
Oh yeah, probably. But I mean, oh, of
It's
course I'll
probably
watch
not
it.
going to be one where you're like,
No,
it's probably either going to be, that's pretty good, or oh my God, no.
no, right. And
James Gunn doesn't make mediocre movies.
It might be it might be a thing that I actually go to the theater to watch. Although I
There
can't
you
even
go.
say that for sure because I really don't like going to the theater anymore. So
Right? Death of a Unicorn is theoretically premiering today in theaters. I may wait. I'm worried. I want as little spoilers as I can and stuff. And I hope if this catches fire the way I hope it's going to, it's going to be everywhere. But yeah, I don't like going to the theater. I don't know.
Really
I am
don't.
super excited because Electric State has dropped on Netflix, and that's gonna suck. I already literally have lined up the various YouTubers. They've already put out videos of how bad it is, and I'm just saving them. We're probably gonna watch it this weekend, and then I'm just gonna cruise through all. It looks like such a huge, spectacular.
Yeah, it
Like
does.
they spent so much money. There's so many big names in it. Such effects. And it apparently just whiffed it hard.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying,
And
unfortunately.
I am excited. I feel like this is really gonna be mind-blowing. And if it's interesting enough, I may check out the source material. Because I've also heard, among other things, it is a piss poor adaptation of the source material, which I believe is a children's book or a young adult or something.
I don't
I had never heard of it before, but apparently
know.
it is one of those much beloved things. But
I mean, we're gonna watch it just because robots. That's why we watch
right,
it.
right,
We'll watch
and
it.
Ki-Hu Kwan,
Oh,
I'll follow
yeah. Right.
Ki-Hu
Yeah, he's
Kwan
in it. And
anywhere
I hear he's
at
really
this
good in it.
point.
I hear that,
He's really
like,
good at everything.
he's a bright spot in the whole dreary thing.
He's lovely.
Yeah.
Always. I recently watched one of those Google autocomplete question interviews with him, and that was really fun. I think he would get on my nerves in person real quick. He is super enthusiastic all the time. Exhausting. But I adore him and I wish him all the best. And I like watching him on TVs and movies and things.
Right.
For those of you just joining us, if it seems like we're not going anywhere, A, that's normal. And B, we have two episodes to cover because somebody has important business networking to do now that he's a big shot. I want to say corporate attorney. I can't remember, but whatever. He's got a job now. So now sometimes it's a problem. So we're going to do two in a row because I believe he said that podcast won't matter when I make that cheddar as part of a larger freestyle rap he was doing when we were scheduling. Williams changed, man. Success has really gotten to his head. Anyway, the show is we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People write in to that email address. I mean, a lot of bots also write into that email address, but people write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want. And pretty much the hat forces us magically by forwarding us the email, and we read them and we talk about them. But we're probably going to exhaust the last two we have while recording these two episodes, so please send us more. The hat always gets these emails about, like, hey, why is the magical hat not being recognized by Google? Or why is it not taking off? And it has they always have answers, and I'm like, I know the answers already. Like, it's on me, dude. Like, it's not because I don't have your magical class and or pay you money to do things, but no, I'm fucking this up all on my own. Thank you very much. It's not true though. I'm fucking it up with you. We're fucking it up
Together, yeah.
together
Oh.
for a long time. So how it's been a week, right? Yeah, a week. How is your week?
Good. Trying to think if anything, like, we didn't really watch. We've been talking about watching the film we were just talking about, but we didn't watch it. I don't remember. Yeah, there's not a lot going on to really talk about, I guess. Just the normal stuff, work stuff, you know, kind of boring. What about your week?
Not a ton. I've been trying to find a new video game, sort of. I might have just landed on one. I've been experimenting with a few different ones showing up on Game Pass. So there's a new one called One Lonely Planet that's basically Stardew Valley but in space, and I had a little fun with that for a while, but I kind of bounced off of it. There's a 33 player online multiplayer that just dropped called 33 Souls, in which you play a damned soul who has joined the rebellion to try and go kill God. And it's like the Judeo-Christian God, because in the trailer, like, boss names are things like Lucifer and Adam and Eve, and I'm like, no, this is definitely that God. And it's sort of roguelike. I don't know. I played it a little bit. It's odd. It's fun because you don't have to talk to me. I like online multiplayer where you don't have to talk to anyone. I actually have fun with some of that. Mass Effect 3's multiplayer, I did that. There was some, I forget, there was some free game where you drove Jeeps with rockets on them and played Capture the Flag and shit. And I got into that for a while. I could actually enjoy it when I don't have to talk to them. And it's interesting. I don't know that I'll spend a lot of time on it. But part of me was like, because it also just dropped. It's technically just now come out in early access. And I was like, ooh, I could be in on the ground floor and like doing all the fun stuff when a game becomes huge or whatever. But I don't know. I didn't do it. So I grabbed a couple others, and I think I've settled on something. Avowed.
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 That sounds familiar.
Recently came out.
Yeah.
It is okay. First, we'll talk about who it is. It's Obsidian Entertainment.
Oh,
So it's Outer Worlds
yeah.
and Fallout New Vegas are the big things they are. And you've played, or Abby's played, Outer Worlds. Speaking of which, that's getting a sequel.
Oh, good, 'cause we kind of
Yeah.
liked it. We kind of liked that.
So this is okay. So Obsidian's the one who made it. Also, you need to understand about the property called Pillars of Eternity, which
Okay.
maybe is based on a book. I don't know. I know it. There are two video Pillars of Eternity, Pillars of Eternity 2, that are fantasy isometric turn-based group. It's like a Baldur's Gate,
Okay.
basically. There's a couple of them, and they are pretty well liked. And it's an IP that you, so this is set in that world, but it's a first person fantasy. It's basically a Skyrim,
Oh.
but done by Obsidian in the fantasy world that is Pillars of Eternity, which for the record, I haven't played any of and knew nothing about. So that's
And
not, but
you can play this first person game without any trouble?
I play any first person game now.
Okay.
Never a thing. Every single time I load up a new one, I'm like, oh crap, is this? And this one, I was going through the settings to like put the sound where I want and everything, and it had head bob and it had a level, and I was like, oh my God, is this gonna be? No, fine.
Cool. Cool.
And it is a little dumbed down compared to some of them, which at first I was not super into, but I'm kind of digging it now. I think sometimes there are too many sort of systems in place in these big first person role playing ones. It's a little dumb, only a little. It's still got a lot going on. Its weird hook is that you are what is called a godlike, which is essentially, this world is very focused on its gods, and it means you essentially were touched by a god in the womb, and you're considered special, but it also means you have a fucked up face in one way or another. And your character has that. It tends to be gross. Like, it's a lot of like things growing out. The one I went with is sort of a, it's almost flower like butterfly sort of gross out here, and then there's sticks like in my hair. And you can set the character creation so it doesn't show up, but it's still a story point. Like, the characters still respond to you as if you got a weird ass face. And what they didn't tell me is I'm here to investigate a plague that's destroying everything that makes people get weird ass faces. And so people sometimes now worry that I got the plague, and I'm like, no, it's not my thing. But so that was a weird component to it. But yeah, I was like, it'll give me something. I need something to do. I don't know until the next big. I'm not ready to jump into like a huge game again. I'm not ready to jump into like a Cyberpunk 2077 yet, or something like that, or Baldur's Gate 3. So I was like, I'll do this because I don't care about this. But I've been doing a lot of like, oh, I should probably stop. Okay, no way. I'll do this one more thing, and then I'll. Okay, well, I need to go sell that, and then I'll save. And Okay. Well, this quest is gonna be quick. I can go do like I've already been doing that. So I'm
Right,
like,
right.
I think it's getting me. And best part of all. So you get companions as you do in these things. I've only you I had one and then sort of two during what was clearly the tutorial section. Like the start of the game is go to this place, and then the real start is, oh no, you didn't get to that place. Now you have to learn all the mechanics in a different place, and then you'll get to the place. And
Yeah,
so I
right.
had companions during that part. But I get there and I get my first companion, and I don't really have a choice in the matter. Here they are. And it's fucking Garrus from Mass Effect.
Oh, you
Like,
mean?
that's the voice actor, and that's the voice. Like, that's just his voice. It's just, I mean, he's a big snake dude now. He's a different guy. His name is Kai, but it's very clearly Garrus. And I love Garrus. Garrus was my best friend in the Mass Effects and my fuck buddy in the last Mass Effect. Love Garrus with all my heart. And it's fucking Garrus. And I'm like, I don't know who what other companions are gonna show up, but they are probably screwed. Because I love me my Garrus. Also, Garrus in this one is a big fighty guy, which is good because I'm sort of going the wizardy route and I am kind of squishy, so he's a good choice for that. But I love that. It's Garrus. I missed him.
You missed him.
So that's fun.
But when you were talking about, how you need to, how you're trying to find a new video game, it sounded like you were talking about relationships. Like, I'm not ready for a big commitment yet. So I'm just looking for something, that's going to be fun. It's not going to be too much of a too involved. But so that's what I thought I was getting with this. But I'm starting to have feelings. I'm starting to think about this thing all the time. It sounded like a person that was trying just to have hookups between relationships, but you're falling in love instead. it was pretty funny.
I would say that is less funny and more chillingly accurate. Well, we're gonna have to quit early because I've just had a major existential crisis. Come back next week and see if I'm here. Maybe I'm introducing you to my new video game character wife.
And you're gonna have to, otherwise we'll think you're making it Is he really seeing a video game? No, I don't think so. I think he's just making that up. I've never seen it. It always has some excuse not to show up.
What is my life? In the TV show Archer, there's a mad scientist character, basically. And early on, there's a bit where we learn that he basically created a holographic wife, and it's a hologram of an anime girl with pink hair in a wedding dress who has like a weird accent. And she shows up throughout the series, and it's mostly to show that they have relationship issues. Where she just like complain and weird ones. At a certain point, there seems to be implication that they're having difficulties in their sex life, but she's a hologram, so I don't know what. And like very pointedly, not like a sci-fi hard light one. Like pa things pass through. She's just a hologram, but apparently she's an unsatisfied hologram. But yeah, that recurs. That, sorry, that I was just watching rewatching the Bad Movie Bible episode on James Bond ripoffs. And basically the culmination of that episode is it's finally been done right and we should stop. And that time it has been done right is Archer. Because Archer basically takes every single James Bond trope from every single movie, most of which don't overlap with each other, and smushes them into one functional thing that unflinchingly recognizes how horrible so many of those traits are, and just sort of nails the parody of it in the right way. But all right, I've seen four movies I want to talk about, but we got two episodes, so I'm only going to tell you about two of them. Start with. Do you want the two good ones or the two bad ones?
Maybe a good one and a bad one,
All right,
and
I can do that.
we
I can
get a
do
good
that.
one and a bad one next time.
I shouldn't, I guess it's really three good ones, but one of them was just a surprise.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll go with your favorite to start with. Trish picked the two good ones, and sort of made me watch them. We saw Muppets Take Manhattan.
Oh,
I
yeah.
now realize I probably did see. I have not seen a lot of the Muppet movies, but I realize I probably did see this one when I was like when it came out, maybe, which I
Oh,
would
it's
have been
you.
like
Yeah.
very young.
Years ago, I saw it years ago.
Yeah, it was somewhere between 82 and 84. I can't remember. It was when 82, 83, 84, somewhere. So I'm 6, 7, 8. And certain bits I remembered, like the bit where everybody writes postcards about how they're doing. Like that all came back to me and all that stuff like that. It holds up pretty nice, and I like it because it is that era where we weren't just saying Muppets are a kid's thing.
Oh.
Like there's grown-up-y stuff in here in places. Not risky. I mean, it's still rated G and definitely should be rated G, but. Like there's just stuff, and it see I feel like the evolution of the Muppets, it eventually was like, no, it's a puppet thing, it's kids, whereas that was definitely not its original intention, and the Muppet Show itself was very much not a kids show. It was a show kids could enjoy, but it's not a kids show.
Right.
And this still had that vibe, which I liked.
Yep.
And lots of fun cameos and stuff, but yeah, it's not super problematic. Which easily could have been. I mean, there's some stuff that is a little weird, but not really. We don't, which is fair. We don't deal a lot with race or sexual orientation or anything in there, which is usually, I don't recall any particularly offensive accents. There is an actor I love, and I mostly remember him as the dad in the Big Fat Greek Wedding movies. But he died before like the third one, so I think the character died. But he's been in everything. He's one of those you see him and you're like, oh yeah, he's been in everything. And in this, he's the owner of the diner, which means his name is probably Gus. I don't remember. And he just keeps giving these inspirational and comforting speeches that make no sense. He's just things like peoples is peoples. Is frog missing? Are we worried? Yes. Is there show? Must we keep going? Yes. Is frog maybe dead? Yes. Is terrible? Yes. But is happy to sing and dance? Peoples is peoples. And that would be his speech. It's a fun time. So yeah, that was good.
That was also, that was, it's just kind of funny the way you said all that, because there was a period of time there where one of the things they like to do with Kermit and the other characters was refer to him as the frog, or to
Yeah,
look at him and
yeah.
say, "Watch it, frog." I mean,
Oh no.
that was a thing
I
for a
chose
long
that very
time.
specifically.
Yeah, I mean that
I am pretty confident at no point, and they have a lot of interaction. At no point does he call him Kermit. He calls him Frog.
but I mean, when I went through and watched all the Muppet shows again a few years ago when you so generously gifted me a subscription to Disney Plus, and I noticed how often they did that, and I thought that's really interesting that they're doing that. And they didn't do that with very many other things, like, they didn't call Fozzie Bear. Now, sometimes the pig word came up in relation to, but it was always like offensive. It was always like, "Hey, you don't talk like that." But they talk like that to Kermit all the time, and it's like, that's in their world, that's kind of racist. But well, they did it all
Little bit.
the
Also, I had forgotten this. There's a fantasy musical number where they're babies.
Muppets.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's Muppet Babies,
Oh yeah, Muppet Babies,
which
right.
apparently came out the year after. Because
Yeah.
I'm watching this and I'm like, whoa. And Trish is like, what? I'm like, that's the Muppet Baby. She's like, yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not saying that's Muppets when they're baby. They're wearing the outfits.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, yeah, it's owned by the same. I'm like, but this either means that this movie decided to reference the Saturday morning cartoon Muppet Babies within it, or Muppet Babies, the animated Saturday morning cartoon, is a spin-off
Yeah.
of a dream sequence
Yeah, that
in
was my.
Muppets Take Manhattan, either which is kind of wild. And
I'm
it turns
pretty.
out apparently it's the latter.
The latter, yeah. I remember that back in the day when Muppet Babies first showed up. I remember thinking, oh, they're going to take that piece of the movie and they're just going to make a cartoon out
Yeah,
of it.
because I didn't, maybe I hadn't seen the movie, but I lived and breathed Muppet Babies.
Oh, okay.
Muppet Babies was my shit. Both just because I enjoyed the show, and the premise to me was the premise that you would use your imagination to have fun adventures. That was so me. That's still me. My preferred thing is to sit in a comfy chair and go nowhere and then just imagine I'm doing the craziest shit. That's how I've always lived my life, even as a child. So I loved Muppet Babies.
Muppet. Yep.
And yeah, so many great characters. Gregory Hines, Dabney Coleman,
Oh, yeah.
in just the right amount of Dabney Coleman. I love Dabney Coleman. RIP, but a little goes a long way. And he had his one scene. Same, Joan Rivers absolutely losing her goddamn mind for one scene. She basically just spends a scene giggling and defacing the Miss Piggy puppet.
I don't
It's
remember
they're both working at a department store in the makeup counter.
that. Oh.
And Joan Rivers' character decides to give Miss Piggy a makeover,
Oh,
and it just becomes them cackling and just smearing makeup on each other's face.
yeah.
It's insane. But yes, yeah, a super fun time all around. All right, let's go with the proper bad one. We
That one.
watched Wolfs.
Oh, and it was bad? I heard people say it was pretty good. I mean, I'm not gonna watch it,
People
but
are wrong.
oh.
For those of you who don't know Wolfs, it didn't go to theaters. It's an Apple original film. It's a Red Notice. It's super a Red Notice.
Oh, okay.
The premise is George Clooney is the man you call when you need something cleaned up that can never get back to you. He works alone and you don't want to know how he does what he does, but he's the best in the business and you call him when you need someone to make it all disappear. Also, Brad Pitt is exactly the same kind of guy, and for some reason they are stuck working together, even though they don't want to. That's the movie. And you'd think,
Are they at opposite sides of a gorge? And
no,
oh,
not even,
not that. Okay.
which would explain it. But they slowly fall in love and then they go to hell. No. On paper, this should be fine because it's George Clooney and Brad Pitt. At the end of the movie, my wife says to me, George Clooney and Brad Pitt just don't have very good chemistry. And I said, that is an absolute lie. We know that is not true because the Ocean's 11 movies exist. They have amazing chemistry. However, you are correct that in this movie, for reasons that make no sense, they have shit chemistry. I think it's just because they're just mean dudes to each other the whole time. They're just so insecure and it's a bad movie. It's a bad movie, I'm sorry to say. It's bad. Nobody needs to watch it. I'm trying to come up with a good thing. No, I mean it's definitely a movie.
Okay, so let me ask
Like
you a question.
it has a three-act plot, it has characters, it has dialogues. It's all very functional. There's nothing not working here. Maybe I shouldn't say it's a bad movie. Maybe I should say it is an absolutely inconsequential movie before, during, and after you watch it.
Okay, so we call it chemistry, so let me ask you this question. If you had a situation like this where the two characters just aren't coming together, Could you alter the story in a way where it's not, it doesn't, it isn't two people who are kind of headlining it, but three. And the third person is Pedro Pascal. And could he be like a catalyst to ignite or speed up the chemistry between the other two characters?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. 100%. Okay.
The number doesn't matter.
Okay.
It could be two guys. One of them is Pedro Pascal. It could be 17 guys, 12 women, and three saucers of milk. If one of the guys is Pedro Pascal, we're fine.
Wow.
And this is the thing, because we talk about chemistry. Chemistry is a thing that makes characters fun to watch interact together, regardless of dialogue.
Yeah.
Good point. Sometimes the dialogue can definitely be working against it. Sometimes the dialogue can work for it to the degree that characters might not have chemistry, but you still kind of enjoy them because the dialogue's good enough. And if they're good enough actors.
Yeah.
But it is an undefinable, just watching them interact irrespective of the words they're saying is good.
Right.
And Pedro Pascal has that with everyone in the world and several inanimate objects. But Clooney and Pitt definitely, like, they don't have problems having chemistry with other actors normally. I genuinely think the premise and the dialogue were just such that, but it shouldn't. It's a buddy cop comedy with by another name. It doesn't seem like it shouldn't have worked, and it didn't flame out. That's the problem. It's not bad enough to warrant watching either. It's just, I think I remember the whole story because it wasn't a very interesting story. Although at the end, we do sort of have a last minute twist. So we sort of end on a cliffhanger and sequel bait, which, okay. and it's one of those where at the last minute, we're like, wait, this, then this, but that means, and there's like a big reveal. Not sure what it was. I mean, I know what the end result was, but all the stuff they said explaining it, I was like, okay.
I'll go along with it. Whatever
it's
it is.
It's fine. All right. But yeah, so can't recommend that. But Muppet Segment Hadden, still solid. Still solid for a fucking grown up who's not William. So check that out. I did have a thing, though. I don't want to spoil anything about Muppet Segment
Hadden. Oh, yeah. Don't spoil
And I think this covers it. There is a wedding scene. Not even going to say there's a wedding. There's a wedding scene. The people playing the bride and groom in this scene are Kermit and Piggy. And we're in a church and there's the bride side and the groom side. And I was like, okay, I see Big Bird. I see Bert and Ernie. I'm like, that better be the groom side. Because Kermit was on Sesame Street.
Yes.
Piggy was not.
Correct.
So I'm like, so all those Sesame Street people better be, but I don't think they were, because like I think there were frogs on the others. I don't think they did it, but I was like, come on, that's absolutely should be the thing. Is the groom side is all the Sesame Street people because they're his family. Because but they didn't do that. I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, that is kind of a missed opportunity.
But it's a fun time. Wolves, who cares? See it, don't see it. Your life will be exactly the same. There's a fourth season of Ted Lasso coming out that Jason Sudeikis is going to be in. Mm-hmm. What? There's another thing last night that my wife, something that's coming out, some sequel or something. And I was like, I can't give you my opinion yet because just like with Ted Lasso season 4, I don't know how I feel. Or if I will... Oh, that's what it is. Righteous Gemstones new season came out. Mm. Or is coming out. Right? Like, it's starting. And I was like... I very literally, near the end of season 3, said this might be the end of me for Righteous Gemstones. So I'm like... So I don't know. And the Ted Lasso thing is the same thing. I'm like, I haven't figured out my feelings yet. We'll see. Anyway, give us an email.
Oh, we're
almost out of time for this. What are you even doing?
I don't know. All right. This is from Craig.
Greg.
William. Oh, addressing me here.
I'll go. Make myself.
At this point, if the Oak Island TV show said they found the treasure and showed something that supposedly was the treasure, would you believe them or think it had been made up, exaggerated for the purpose of the show?
I am surprised to learn. I am very excited to hear what your answer is on this one. I think this is a good question for this kind of thing. Like, from the viewer's perspective, you're fucking watching. They find the goddamn money pit.
Uh-huh.
A, do you believe it? And B, how do you feel? I think A might be the bigger one. Do you believe it? Or are you like, they finally decided they had to pull the trigger and come up with something, I guess. Like,
it's funny that this question should come up, because recently I've kind of been obsessed with the idea of making a short film about people who show up to Oak Island with a person who they want to sacrifice to find the treasure. Because in The Curse of Oak Island, in the title sequence, they always say that it's called The Curse of Oak Island because someone's going to have to die before they can find the treasure. That's the curse. Like six people have died and seven have to die for them to find the treasure. That's kind of the tagline at the end of the title sequence of the show for all of these years that it's been on 12 seasons. So I thought it would be fun to make a little thing where these guys show up and someone says, here, this guy says he's willing to die so that you guys can find the treasure.
Hold on here. When did we learn in history that seven people had to die? Was it after the sixth person died?
I don't know.
I feel like it wasn't like at when no people had died. They weren't like, they say seven people have to die. But, and then somebody fucking died and they were like, I guess six
but
now?
This
like,
is the thing. When it first started, when the show first started, I think they thought that this was the way to get viewers to come in. It's like, ooh, there's a curse, everybody. And someone has to. So keep watching so that you can maybe see somebody die. I don't know. But now since then, it's obvious that people watch just because they're interested in the brothers and in the stuff. But this tagline persists to this day. The tagline persists to this day about six people have died and a seventh will have to die before they can find the treasure. This has been a tagline in the show for 12 years that, to my knowledge, nobody even thinks about. And I'll bet if some people who watch it were listening to us, they'd go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. But that was a big thing.
It's one of those shit where none of the people actually in the show know that that's the opening. They've never heard of this.
Well,
and that's just like, no, that could absolutely be a thing.
And there are real questions.
Whoever gets final edit on putting it on TV just added this opening, and the people making the show have no idea.
And so, yeah, so I was going to make a little thing where someone shows up. It's been 12 seasons, guys. And this guy, he doesn't want to live anymore. You know, let's just slit his throat above the money pit. Let's finally get this over with. To which they'll all say, no, it doesn't work like that. And they'd even have a rationale, because actually, since the show started, two famous money pit investigators who lived on the island have died. They just got old and died.
Did I say seven? I meant nine.
I mean, they didn't die looking for the treasure,
but they
are dead. And they lived on the island. So,
I mean, there's a couple of things here. First of all, your film is wrong. They don't bring an old guy who's dying. It's a guy, and he is a super fan and wants to be the sacrifice because it will give him immortal fame.
Oh yeah. They'll talk about it forever.
He's super into it. And like, he's like, come on. Like maybe even things like where he's like trying, like there's equipment and he like tries to lean on a sharp part just, and they're like, stop it. Like, that's what you need. Is this guy is like really gung ho for him to die.
Yeah. He's going to be
the second
one.
Of all, you say people watch this show. It's a very cheap show to make. In order to be profitable, I believe you need one viewer. You have two. The show has two viewers in the, well, okay. Three, because I assume Abby watches with you. So Abby, you,
members of my Justin family McElroy. Do too, like three or four people.
All right. And Justin McElroy. Those are the only people.
Okay.
This especially cracked me up. There's the fun drive for the podcast co-op they're a part of happens every year and is happening right now. And so they are putting up videos and live streams every day for the next 2 weeks. And so they have to come up with different things. And one was, I guess when they were on tour, they did a hike in Arizona and they just went around hiking and it was a fun, it was like a 15-minute video. And like they brought all this equipment they didn't need and experimented with MREs and shit like that. But in the process, they find what looks like regular rectangle, like bricks in the ground. Like there was a building or something where they were, and they're out in the desert. And so like, what is this? And so then they start doing this, like, oh, the ley line energy and all this. They're like trying to like stretch out across all of them and touch. And at one point, I believe Travis says, you know, if you line this up perfectly, it points right at Oak Island, Justin. It's like, ooh. No, but okay. So back to the original question though.
Well, it depends.
Next episode you watch, they fucking find the money pit. Do you believe it? How do you feel?
It depends on if someone died. No, I'm just kidding. So
they find it, and inside is just a little digital clock counting down from 3 seconds, and then the whole island explodes.
Island explodes.
The end.
So there is a story. So in the very first season, like at the end of that season, which was not. It wasn't like it was only a few episodes in the first season. They did find a coin.
To prepare for our listeners, this is William working really hard to not answer the question. Go ahead.
It's related. There's a coin that they find and they're really excited about it. It's a very, very old Spanish coin. And this is how the first season ends after like eight episodes or 10 episodes. It's not like the seasons now are much longer. But and so they're really excited about it. And this is going to go right into season two, right? That they found this coin. But then season two almost didn't happen because Marty, one of the brothers, it's Rick and Marty Lagina. Marty went to the producers and made them swear on their mother's graves that they didn't plant that coin for them to find there. Because he wasn't going to play that game. You know, he didn't want the show to be a whole bunch of people planting stuff to make things more interesting or more dramatic. His brother Rick had always wanted to come here, wanted to find the real thing. So I'm going to tend to believe if they find something, because I mean, I wouldn't put it past someone to want to fake it. Don't get me wrong. But I really don't think the Laginas would be behind faking it, which means if it was fake, they would have had to get the whole thing by them. And not just by them, but some of the people helping them too, who also are not interested in it being faked. So I would believe it because I would think it'd be really hard. I mean, again, I could believe someone in like the production company or whatever wanting to fake it. I could believe that 100%, but they'd have to do it under the nose of a whole bunch of other people who would not be behind that at all.
No. And how would you feel?
If they found it?
Yeah.
Surprised? Because I don't...
Yeah, right? Right?
I mean, honestly, not just surprised. I would be shocked. I have been so convinced my whole life. I mean, the first time I saw this Oak Island stuff, I was like 9. And even then, my reaction was, no. There's nothing there. And that's just what I've always thought. Because One thing about the whole Oak Island thing is whenever anyone shows up with a theory for where the treasure came from and all this stuff, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, all of their theories lack one critical component, which is an explanation of why the said treasure would still be there. They always have a theory about who brought a treasure to Oak Island, you know, and who built the money pit. This elaborate theory about who came here with something, but they never have an explanation for why it would still be there. Right? So my first question after every single theory would be, and why is it still here? Why didn't they come back and get it? You know,
they crashed. They died.
There's never,
There's never so many like movies that have that premise. Come on. So many.
So it's not just that I don't think anyone ever buried a treasure there. It's that even if they did, why would it still be here? Nobody seems to have an attempt to explain why that would be. So I'm just convinced they're never going to find anything. So I would be shocked if they did.
I think the whole thing's fake and it's a stealth lost sequel.
I mean, something happened on that island, because they find artifacts all the time, but not buried treasure, in my opinion. And you don't care what I think happened.
No, I don't care what happened.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay. I do care what you think happened. No, I'm trying to be responsible with your time. We are doing this double episode early in the ass morning.
I know, because you've got
important international arms dealer business to do later. I'm trying to keep us to a tight time.
Okay.
Pick a number between -3 and -π.
0. Oh, wait, that's not between. No, wait, is it? No, it's not.
You're the worst.
-π, then.
Too late. Again, this sounds familiar. Maybe these are very similar. I don't know. We've definitely had this one before. I'm going to sort through these and see if there's just repeats. We've definitely had this one. Find the imposter. Remove one thing from your space that is sabotaging your best life. And I know we've had this because the quote is from Rick and Morty, and it is Rick Sanchez saying, "You got to get swifty." And I remember that because I remember being like, oh, goddamn, William's not going to know what Swifty means.
I still don't know. You probably told me, and I still don't know.
I did. It's not worth a second explanation. But so do it again. Marie Kondo that shit. What does not spark joy? But you know what should spark joy? Emailing themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. And if it doesn't spark joy, figure your life out. Because it should, because it's so joyful to email us and make us talk about whatever bullshit you want us to talk about. Made us talk about Oak Island. I never want to talk about Oak Island, but made it happen. Usually only my best friend William gets to do shit like that. But through the magic of podcast, you also get to do that. Also, you come and comment that when we finally find the treasure, are you going to believe it really happened? And how will you feel? TheMagicalTalkingHead.com, the blog, as I call it. Go there and tell us your feelings on this. But please email us, because I think we're going to run out pretty soon. And our schedule is insane. But for you, we'll just be back next week. For us, who knows? We've been dead the whole time.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.